All right, everybody, welcome to the playground. Thanks to Dr. Joe. I know that was an emotional story. It was a great show. If you didn't hear it, it will be on the podcast later on WTK.com. I'll send that out for everyone. So thank you, Dr. Joe. I know that was very hard for you today. But now let's get to Michigan football. So I watched the game at home. It's the first time in 6 years I did not have to come
into the station.
And so I was able just to relax and just enjoy the entire thing and my boxers.
Nice.
And that helps. That helps Michigan win, and obviously they are undefeated in me just watching it in my boxers, which I guess in the 5-6 years that I've worked here, I've worn boxers, but just not just that in the studio. So welcome to the playground. Obviously, I thought it's 29-13,
uh-huh.
Right? I didn't think that at any point Air Force was going to come back. They had their chances, but it just seemed like Michigan was up and was going to run away with it all the way through. I am Josh Zinke, by the way. Jacob Babbitt is over there answering your phones. Remember, this is a new phone system. I have choice words that I don't really love this new phone system.
I think you and me both.
I could bring in my own phone and just hook it up. I do have one. I'm 36 years old, and it would work just fine. But they want to use this thing, and let's just hope Jacob has that. So good morning, Jacob. How you doing?
Good morning. Trying to be competent with this phone system. That's all.
That's all I want from you is try to do the best you can. If you are hung up on callers, 734-998-1050, if you are hung up on, just call back. We are having trouble with the phones. It's a new system. We're all learning it.
Mm-hmm.
Also with me, is Matt Misler. Mm-hmm. You hear him pretty much 8 days a week on many of these stations around here.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Misler, how are you doing today?
Mm-hmm. I'm doing good. A little surprised with yesterday's game. But I'm doing good, though.
And Antonio, you've heard him for about, I don't know, let's say 6, 7? How many years, Antonio, has it been?
I don't know. I feel like it's probably 5 or 6.
See, I think it's longer than that, because I've been here at least 6 years. And you were here when I walked in that one of those days, and you were back with John U. Bacon and Jamie Morris.
Yep.
Who?
So, yeah. No, guys that you don't hear from anymore, as they are both. I think John's writing books, and I think Jamie's selling cars.
Ah, big-time stuff.
Good luck to those guys. But yes, that's the playground for today. We might have some more kids join us. I believe Anthony's always late, or he's always somewhere.
Possibly. I think Ron may join us. I don't know about Anthony. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, one of them is in detention right now. The other one, who knows?
Yeah, we'll play by ear.
So let's get into this game. Now, I watched it, like I said, in the comfort of my own mansion. And I felt like it went the way it was supposed to. I predicted 31-21, so I really wanted Air Force to score another touchdown late. Hudson intercepted that and kind of took away my chances of saying how close I was to actually getting that, because they would have went for two anyways, because they had to get back from 16 down. So if they get the touchdown plus the 2 points, that would have got them to 21, and I would have been only 2 points off on the Michigan. So I was hoping for that. Now, obviously, I thought that it was a well-played game. I thought Michigan was in control the entire time, except for the injuries. That's the bad part of it. Tariq Black carted off. No word on him. I don't know if you guys heard anything. I saw a fake news story said he broke his ankle. Fake. I don't know yet. One person, and it wasn't a media source. It was someone else coming up with something. The other one was Isaac. He limped off up the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure about his injury status yet. Tariq Black did post him on Twitter that, pretty much he's going to try to get healthy. And a lot of people just asked if he was all right, and he didn't answer back. So I guess we'll have to wait until tomorrow's press conference with Jim Harbaugh.
Yep.
and see if he gives any word to it. Because obviously, if any of the reporters ask, which most of them do.
Yeah, the question's going to get asked regardless. It's just going to be one of the, like most coaches do. You're probably going to have to, you'll probably deter away from it, but eventually it's going to be that giant pink elf in the room that has got to be answered. But, hopefully that, the injury to Tariq Black and the injury Ty Isaac suffered, hopefully it's not as serious as, as people may think it out to be. That's the only thing.
Yeah, no, and you're right about that. Is hopefully, and obviously they have the machines there at the stadium nowadays. They can kind of look over, but with swelling and all that, you have to wait. And so more likely anything that was happened to them they were going to be checked out at the university hospital later on. So no word on that. So I knew that was going to be some people calling in asking questions. So, you know, about that happening, but yeah, I really thought they were in control. Now, when I came in, I asked Babs how everything went, and he said in the post game, a lot of people were upset about the offense. A lot of people were not happy with what was going on so far.
I can understand a bit.
And why? Tell me why.
I guess because a lot of people, this is probably coming, this is me speaking, and I'm not obviously speaking on behalf of everyone, but
Jamil Hill.
Yeah.
You and her.
Uh-huh. I'm speaking on behalf of her. That this isn't one of those, this was supposed to be, it should have been an easy opponent. Kind of like how everyone thought Cincinnati was going to be an easy opponent. You know, you expect a lot out of the offense. You would have thought, okay, well, maybe this is the third game of the season. Maybe they would have gotten their stuff together. Maybe Wilton would be able to, you know, play a better game. Maybe he'd be able to air it out a little bit more. We're talking about, you know, a military academy coming in, which, no offense to military academies, you know, I think it's great that, you know, Michigan scheduled them, scheduled Air Force this year. But I think a lot of people had high expectations for this offense to come into the game and at least, you know, just kind of go off. And really, in hindsight, stat-wise, it didn't come off that way.
All right, yeah, I thought this was going to be a very tough game. And I just because of what their offense brings to the defense, and last year and years before, getting to the edge is such a tough thing to go from sideline to sideline. And I think this team's better at it than last year's team. And I think they do a lot better job at that. And watching it, Mo Hurst, being the center guy, was able to make some of those tackles, you know, and they really took away that option, as they said on the broadcast yesterday, that they've been working on since spring. And I thought they did a great job. You know, there's a few times where Air Force pulled off those option moves. So sweet. And I mean, it wowed me, one of those where it was just kind of like an end around almost looking thing. Mm-hmm. But they had the setup of the lineman downfield, like, gave him such a giant lane that I'm like, wow, that's your option for you. You're going to have some of those.
And the thing is, I noticed too, during the week, someone had asked during the week, during one of the shows that I help out with, was someone asked, did Don Brown, when he was coaching for BC, did he ever take on Georgia Tech? Come to find out, Georgia Tech and BC never played when Don Brown was up at BC. So this was kind of new for him. But at the same time, I mean, you know, it's, everyone's going to say it, is that that triple option offense is kind of one of those, it's kind of a novelty, you know, a novelty offense system, because they don't have the athletes that teams like Michigan or Ohio State, that they can recruit those five-star recruits. So for Air Force to kind of pull off that triple option offense, that's kind of the best way they can do it. But I mean, at the same time, it's a tricky offense to kind of read, because you don't know who to cover at what time, because you never know what they're going to do.
All right, Tonio, your thoughts on the offense as a whole first.
The offense as a whole?
I mean, as our you know,
our defense against our offense. I thought our defense did a great job. Once again, I mean, I think you know, it seems like every single game, all the announcers want to talk about is how inexperienced the defense is. And so I think that they're right to a certain extent in terms of just starters. But we did bring back quite a bit of playing time this year, it seems like. So I would say I'm not surprised that the defense is playing well, especially, I mean, Don Brown has just done such an excellent job that it's becoming just expected that every game the defense goes out and does their job well. So, I mean, like you guys were talking about, the triple option is difficult to defend, and I thought that we did a tremendous job stopping the run game. I mean, I think it was, after the first half, Air Force only had 92 yards of total offense.
Right, and not a single pass the entire first half.
Right.
I mean, there were zero, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, that's tremendous. And I also think, yeah, and as you just said, you know, like, they were pretty much running the ball on every single down, which I think speaks volumes to how you know, locked down our secondary was for most of the game. Now, having said that, there was the one blown long, like, it was like probably like a 45-yard touchdown that they had it was in the second half. So other than that, though, I thought the secondary did a pretty good job. But the run defense, especially, give a lot of credit to the defensive line. Mo Hurst, Rashawn Gary, I thought they did a great job of forcing you know, Air Force to go to the outside. And they did, I think, a pretty good job of getting around their blocks to kind of contribute so that it wasn't just left up to like Devin Bush and, you know, Winovich to kind of chase stuff down. I thought really the defense as a whole did a really good job.
Yeah, I thought so as well, because that's the key thing about stopping that offense is getting those interior guys outside. Because, and it's like pretty much you have to get from point A, you know, all the way out there, and you have to go through two or three guys to actually stop it. And I think that's what Don Brown did very well is he taught, you know, every once in a while it didn't happen, but if Miz, you're my guy, mm-hmm. no matter where you go, I'm going with you. And you knew, even if Tony O had the ball over here to my right, my guy's still to my left, and I can kind of watch, but at the same time, you are my guy.
Right.
Somebody else had him. Don't worry about what's going on with him. And they did very well at that, is making sure they kept to their guy that they were supposed to have as that option worked out. So, yeah, I'm kind of shocked to hear that you guys said, or at least Babbitt said, that the post game was, you know, a lot of people were upset with this offense. So first, let's talk about Wilton. Has he been replaced yet? As obviously everybody wants to know, Garrett Moore is the quarterback they all want of choice, right?
Of course.
You
want
holder.
The holder. You want the holder.
You want the holder.
You want the
quarterback.
He's a 2-time holder of the year, isn't he?
He only won it this year. He should have won it the year before, and
he will be a 2-time holder.
He will be
out of Detroit Catholic Central.
Yeah.
Go Shamrocks.
Yeah. Your thought on Wilton?
I'll be honest with you. I think right now he's still the quarterback until, you know, John O'Korn or Brandon Peters or Garrett Morris prove that he isn't. It's open committee. Whoever is the guy that can, you know, that can win out the job, who can better show in practice, or, you know, if he gets replaced in a game, show that he is worth that, you know, being the starting quarterback, that's going to be the case. But right now, Wilton Spates is starting quarterback until, you know, Jim Harbaugh says otherwise. And that's going to be what it's going to be. And, you know, we're going to get calls all week on all the shows during the week saying how we're wrong, Wilton Spate is garbage. And at that point, guess what? We've got the power to cut you off.
Well, right now Michigan is 3-0, I do believe.
Yeah, that's the thing. Be happy that we're 3-0 right now. We're still in the top 10 as of right now.
All right, Tony, your thoughts on Wilton yesterday?
Well, I think Wilton is not going anywhere. I mean, he was the starter all last year. Have we seen O'Korn come in for like
yeah,
one
two
play?
Series, two right. series, yeah, and it was so, all handoffs.
I mean,
one series.
If that's not a clear enough signal that, you know, going into the Big Ten season, you know, we're going to be, Wilton Spate is our starting quarterback, you know, then I don't know what could be clearer. And I think it's a good thing because, you know, you don't want to put, you know, a first-time starter out into the starting out in the Big Ten series when you have a guy that played all of last year, basically every single snap, except for maybe a few where he went out injured. So I think, you know, I think that's what you should expect. Now, I don't think that I think some people are sort of doom and gloom when it comes to Wilton Spate. I think that, you know, his offensive line didn't do him a whole lot of favors yesterday. I think that there were a lot of missed blocks, and that affected then the run game and where we were going to be able to run the ball. Once again, we didn't see any ability to run up the middle. Now, having said that, Air Force was blitzing like almost every single down, so that obviously played into it. But I think that the offensive line needs to, you know, hold their blocks better. And then also the wide receivers. I didn't see a huge amount of separation yesterday that I thought we would see a lot. I thought we would see more. I thought we would see more, you know, just wide open, you know, receivers, which we didn't really see a lot of. So I think it's not just Wilton. I think it's kind of a lot of things, a lot of different variables, you know, playing into this entire offense that has been very underwhelming so far.
I mean, it is a completely new offense, you know, a completely different offensive scheme this year too. I mean, that's the big thing too, is that, you know, we lost an offensive coordinator last year, and we've got, you know, the new one this year. So you're going to see a lot of hiccups that need to be, you know, that need to be cleaned up. You're going to see a lot of, you know, problems on the field offensively. Give it time. I'm a little worried about next week, but that's next week. Let's worry about what happened yesterday.
Yeah, we'll get that in this to our show. Jacob Babbitt, your thoughts yesterday. You were in this studio having a lot of fun. Your thoughts on Wilton State yesterday.
Yeah, I was enjoying the delay lag on the computer as I was trying to watch on BTN to go. But again, the defense I thought played really well. I think they held Air Force to the lowest rushing total in about 3 years, especially with a rushing attack that I believe averaged over 300 rushing yards per game last year. Held them under 300 yesterday. So, again, I'm not worried about the defense going forward. I think the biggest concern for me and the biggest takeaway was the offense in the red zone. And it's been like this all season. I think they have one touchdown and 10 red zone trips. Now, mind you, Quinn Nordine hit 5 field goals. But, you know, when it comes to playing teams like Penn State, Ohio State, you're going to need to convert and get touchdowns. Field goals aren't going to win you games every single time out.
All right, yeah, you are right about that. Yeah. Obviously, the red zone is something they're going to have to work on. But I'm not too worried about that just yet. Yes, it's going to be one of those things coming up fast. And as Miz said, Purdue's playing pretty well. And you know that, obviously, Nordine, he's gold. But you want the touchdown score you 7 or 6, plus the extra point. Field goals only get you 3. So obviously it's better to punch those in, especially when you're so close. All right, let's go to some of our callers. Jacob, who is first on our list of callers over there? What do we have? I see the 3, but which one's first?
We've got Don from Sylvania. He's going to be first here.
All right, Don from Sylvania, talk to me. Tell me your thoughts on the offense and Wilton Spate.
All right, so view from the Chiefs seats, right? So you're sitting up there. It was pretty hot yesterday. Let's cover the offense. So there's the systemic issues that have been lagging for the last couple of weeks, and I'll get to the red zone. But, you know, we have a running back that's 230 pounds that could have put his nose in the middle and got the 1 yard, but he bounced outside. So this is an all Wilton. Number two, we had a lot of missed assignments and blocks. But as you mentioned, they were doing the same thing Cincinnati was doing. They were bringing everybody up, rolling their safeties in, and they were so exposed in the backside, and we didn't take advantage of it, which they didn't even try to hide their blitzes. They were walking them up, showing exactly where it was coming from. I think it is too much thinking. I think it is too much new offense from a new offensive coordinator, because last year it seemed like when Spate saw that and saw the blitz or the safeties rolling down, he would hit either Jake Butt across the middle or Kalik Hill would roll out, cross over the middle, and it would be wide open. I haven't seen any of that this year. I don't know where his check down is. I didn't see that yesterday, which is very scary. And we all know as we get down to the red zone, the field gets very narrow. You have less options. So your run game has to be superb to get you closer to the end zone or closer to the goal line. And if you don't have that, you're not going to win too many games. The old adage is you settle for field goals, you settle for losses. You can see that in high school, college, and the pros. And the Cleveland Browns are a perfect example of that, settling for field goals and losing games. The defense, a couple years ago, the defense, we played them in 12. Air Force put over 400 yards on us and was going up and down the field. Michigan's defense, going back to 2006, 2007, could never handle option football. We would just struggle, and we had pros. We had guys in the NFL. We couldn't handle it. So I think they did a pretty phenomenal job. Yes, we had a couple blown coverages, but still, we handled the edges, I think, pretty well. That's good, and we hopefully will never schedule Navy or Air Force again. I love it. I'm military. I don't want to schedule them again. I hate that offense. Offensive-wise, we got to get our run game going. It seems like this offense does fine in the middle of the field, then we sputter as we get close to the red zone. It's like we're putting too much thinking into it, too much process. I think, and everybody I've heard, you know, I've seen things posted, you know, like Jim Harbaugh is holding back. I think that's a crock. I think they're doing things to get this offense going and seeing what sticks. But what bothers me is I see no check down. I don't see any Kalik Hill. I don't see a tight end crossing behind. I don't see our slot receiver. When we started hitting on the edges yesterday, it started working. Then we went away from it. I don't get it. If it's open, take it, because Air Force was selling out their back end, and I don't know why we didn't take advantage of it, because last year we would have torched them. So maybe you can give me some insights on that. We used Kalik Hill more than we used him last year. Oh, you used him a ton last year and not this year. I don't understand that. I don't understand why there isn't a safety valve for, you know, Spate. And, yeah, there's missed assignments again. And you play with a higher caliber talent in the Big Ten,
we're going to run into some problems. And Purdue's looking pretty good. Now, yes, they played the worst team in SEC, the Cleveland Browns, but the bottom line is you go up against faster, superior talent, we're not going to make it on field goal. So just give me your opinions on that. I don't know, but there's some key things that disappeared from last year and we're not using them. So thank you.
All right, let's keep moving along on this list. Let's go to JJ in Lincoln Park. JJ, talk to me.
Last caller, interesting. The biggest thing that I see is the shank punt again in the fourth quarter. That will come back to bite us in a close game when we're trying to close out a game or a tight game. We can't have shank punts in the fourth quarter especially. I will say this. I learned a little bit about football from watching it over the years and stuff like that. When you get into the red zone or any other play, the coach sends in the play on offense, and then the quarterback has to check into another play if he doesn't like what the defense is giving. But the most important guy in the field is the center making the audibles to his lines to change the blocking schemes when the other team's changing their defense and walking up. Last year, Mason Cole was our center. This year, we have Mr. Kugler, and I'm not saying he's not doing a good job because I'm not a football coach. I don't know what the calls are. But it seems that all three of those phases aren't in alignment. The call from the sideline, the audible from the quarterback, and the change to blocking scheme. Anybody that knows football knows the center's the most important guy on the offense because he makes all the blocking calls and the changes. Maybe that's where it lies. I have no clue. That's just a theory. Thank you, guys, and go blue.
Go blue, JJ. All right, one last call before we get to our break. I'll do it real quick. Dave in North Carolina. Dave, talk to me.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, bud?
Okay, my comments. First of all, the defense, I don't think anything needs to be said. They're just playing lights out. I think they're going to get better and better. I have no concerns whatsoever about the defense. The offense, I think Don from Sylvania, I think he summed it up pretty well. And I'm pretty much in total agreement with Don. But our offense, I mean, it really depends, quite frankly, on where your head is. If your expectation this year is a 9-3 or 8-4 team because we have a young team, then you're not too concerned. But if you're looking at this team as a Big Ten championship team, a playoff team, then you ought to be very, very concerned. This offense is so far away from being a championship caliber offense that it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And so I'm very concerned. I just think the play calling is very vanilla. We've shown nothing. I don't think this is all Wilton Spate. I think there's much more to it than that, unfortunately. But I don't think Spate is playing, you know, particularly well. And if he's the best we have, then that's a concern just in and of itself. And I'm not questioning Jim Harbaugh's ability to evaluate quarterbacks and put the best guy in there. I'm sure he's doing that. But I'm very concerned about the offense. I mean, one touchdown in 10 red zone appearances that's a staggering statistic, and it's not good. So I'm very concerned because I have higher expectations from this team than I guess some people do.
All right, and one last caller. Let's go to Michael in Georgia. Michael, talk to me.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
A couple of callers stole my thunder a little bit regarding the offense. I'm starting to look. I don't think all this is Wilton's fault either. I'm seeing a lot of Max protection in there. And he's only got two or three receivers out on routes, and there's nothing to check down to. He's taking 5-7 drops, and the receivers aren't getting any separation from what I can tell. Also, another question. Maybe you guys can look this up. How many receptions do our running backs have? I'm not seeing any dump-offs or can't recall any that's getting any yardage.
Just from yesterday's game or for all season long?
The whole season.
Ty had two receptions for 6 yards yesterday. Isaac did.
Yeah, I don't know about the entire season, but I mean, there were a few, there were a couple of swing patterns. I know at least in the Florida game, the one drive in the first half, I know that Ty Isaac had, I believe it was Isaac, he had a reception for 33 yards to extend a drive, and I think that was when we got our first field goal of the game. The first set of points, but I mean, like you said, I don't know the exact stat off the top of my head.
I just looked it up, so Ty Isaac has two receptions for 6 yards on the season.
That was yesterday, yep.
Oh, okay, then it must have been Evans that had the long reception then in the Florida game. But
all right, let's take our first break. You're listening to WTK, The Playground.